Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said to the 12 apostles, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear those who can destroy, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the father, your father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I consecrated you, and I appointed you a prophet. Thus said the Lord to a young priest named Jeremiah. "Do not be afraid," he told them. "Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you." That's what the Lord told them. "Be strong and you will prevail." He said, "You'll be like a wall of bronze." God made that promise. And in spite of God's promise, in spite of God's wall of protection, Jeremiah was beaten down by his vocation and frequently very discouraged. Jeremiah is literally a man of constant sorrows and suffering. We hear it often in his prophetic scroll, and I'll just give you another example. In chapter 15, Jeremiah says to God, "Why is my pain unceasing, my wound incurable?" And then he looks at God and says, "You're like a waterless stream. You're like a waterless stream." And God, not caring a whit about how Jeremiah felt, says to him, "Well, if you want to go back to work, I'll accept you back." That's it. "If you want to go back, I'll take you back. And I will be a wall of bronze around you." Well, God was with Jeremiah through all those trials and tribulations of verbal and physical abuse, of attempts to kill him, beat him, isolation, loneliness, rejection, a lot of dark days, and a lot of hard tasks, preaching to repent to Jerusalem. Repent and turn from your sin. And here's why it was so hard for Jeremiah. He knew what was coming. Now, I don't know about any other group, but I know for sure if you're a parent, you understand this. Because there's not a parent in here who hasn't known what was coming for their kid if they don't stop doing something and begging them to stop, and the kid did it anyhow, and the horror of knowing, because they're not going to turn around, what's going to come of it. Although in Jeremiah's case, it was the destruction of the city, the destruction of the temple, and the death of countless men, women, and children. Jeremiah was crushed by his vocation. So like if you say, I wish like God would talk to me sometime. I don't know. In today's reading, Jeremiah chapter 20, and there's other places, but here is like the height of Jeremiah's despair and sadness. He begins by saying, and the Hebrew words translate a lot of different ways, it's kind of like God has seduced him and kind of pulled him in, that God has fooled him, that God's overwhelmed him like he was too powerful. So Jeremiah's experience of God is he's helpless in response to God, that God burns like a fire in him, and yet it's a miserable job. Death and destruction, and you saw it all listed there. Even my friends are saying, let's get rid of him. He says, I'm all alone. He said, there's no one with me. And then the reading takes a nice turn at the end, and he kind of goes back to the faith, and that's Jeremiah's life. It's the struggle with giving up, and then just the awareness of God and the strength that comes from it. And then we conveniently stop at verse 13, and let me tell you what verse 14 says. Cursed be the day I was born. And the man who ran out saying, she's just given birth to a son, may he be struck down. And then he says, why couldn't I have just died in the womb? How's your worst day sound compared to that? Jeremiah had a very difficult time, but what Jeremiah serves as for us Christians is an advertisement of coming attractions, namely Jesus. The life of Jeremiah, including both he and Jesus, preached to Jerusalem, if you don't repent, you'll be destroyed. The first temple is destroyed. In Jesus' time, the second temple is destroyed. Jeremiah is like a mirror image of Jesus. But in the gospel today, Jesus is telling us, and so should our lives be a mirror image. What's true of Jeremiah is true of each one of us. You and I are called to follow Jesus and to be Jesus. And he begins, this is his sales program. You see what they did to me? Anybody remember the crucifixion, right? See what they did to me? Well, they're probably going to do the same thing to you. Where do you want to sign up? Where do you want to sign up? Jesus goes on to tell us, stop worrying and stop being afraid. And he says, if you're going to be worried and afraid, be worried and afraid about doing right by God. Stop worrying about the world. He says, don't worry about the people who can kill you. I know we live in Memphis. I know about crime. I know that's the constant. I hear it all the time. Read it, everything I open, it's about how do I protect myself from crime? Here's what Jesus says with all this stack of magazines in front of us. And remember, in his time, crime was much worse. And the police would kill you because they were foreigners. All right, so it's much worse. It's not like he lived in a peaceful time. He lived in a much more dangerous time. And what Jesus said is stop worrying about people trying to kill you. Worry about God. He said, you're worried about the wrong stuff. Jesus says, stop worrying. Stop being afraid. Focus on what lasts forever. Would you dust an ice sculpture? I know there's a few of you in here would, now that I think about it. But really, like, is upkeep of keeping the ice sculpture clean, is that like, we got this wonderful ice sculpture, it's only 98 today, it's going to be here for a while, right? Ice sculptures are, they may be beautiful, but they're temporary. And what Jesus is saying is stop focusing on the ice sculpture, focus on the eternity within you. The way the princes of this world rule is through threat and intimidation. And let me tell you what the seed form of that is. I know somebody who can help us out. You ever heard that? I know somebody who can help us out. That's the use of power to get out of dealing with real life. I know someone we can call and we can take care of this. That's how it begins. Anybody in here ever said, oh, I'd rather go through the long line? The second time I was out there trying to get the license plate for this car, like if they had said, I'm not going to make any ridiculous things, but if they had said, I know somebody, you can get in early, I would have said, okay, I'm with you. I don't want to stand in line. Well, that's seduction to use power for our own good. That's what it's about. Jesus says the world is filled with power, using that power for its own benefit. And then as it grows, it becomes threats. I don't know anyone, but you're going to do what I tell you to do. Threats. That's how the world runs. The way Jesus' world runs is, don't worry about them. Love God, serve God. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. Now, if anyone in here can stand up and talk about the time when you were really worried and all that worry made it better, please do so now. Remember, like, you go to the doctor and they said, we'll let you know next week, and you worried, right? And then the doctor said, well, you must have worried a lot because it was really cancer, and then, boom, turned out it wasn't cancer anymore. Only worry could cause that to happen, right? I don't know how I'm going to pay the bills. Well, you need to worry more. Need to worry more. Nah. Jesus said, don't worry, don't be afraid. Because Jesus is the King of Peace. But as he pointed out, it's not going to be the peace the way the world understands it. If you really love Jesus, and you're really focused on Jesus, and if you listen to that reading, I'm hard-pressed to hear how anyone can say, don't take it too far, right? Don't hate everybody else compared to him. You know, don't love him more than everything. If you do those things, he says, you're going to have conflict. There's going to be pushback. So I'm telling you, if there's pushback, expect it. That's the confirmation. Amen. That is Professor Faye.